It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternal in spiritual existence, par excellence. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhani Charanda Shri Rajagarada Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Achyuta Beda Beda Tatva. I will sleep simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. Inconceivably, this is an important word, Achyuta. The material scientists also, if they're a little honest, they accept that some things are inconceivable, like how did the universe start. They have some speculations, but it's still inconceivable because what caused the Big Bang? They say, well, we can't know that, so they don't investigate that. But and any ordinary person would say, well, that's okay, but you may not want to investigate, but I'm curious to know what could have brought about the original situation, you know, to make the universe expand. They say the universe is expanding from one point, and then it may contract later on, it comes back into the one point. But what is that one point? Where did that come from? How is it that it has such potency that it can send the universe out flying all over the cosmos, and then later on it can restrict? That's one theory they have, expanding and then contracting. Another theory they have is just expanding. But in either case, they can't conceive of it as such. There's no model they can make that will work like that. Always expanding. And then, what is it expanding into? The thing that it expands into, what is that? Where did that come from? The space, they say, the space always was there. But why is it always there? How is it it's always there? These things are inconceivable even to the best scientists. And if they're honest, they'll admit that. There are many things that are inconceivable, not only these things about astronomy, but also about the other side, you know, the most tiny cell, and so many things you can see for that. So, we have to challenge them on that. If they speak with such authority, if they speak very strongly that they know, you know, the universe came from this, we can challenge them. Where's your authority? How do you know? It's inconceivable. So this way, this is an important conception. Recognize that some things are inconceivable. Because the ordinary people, they think by science, and so we'll bring everything into our hand. They will understand everything. There's no more mystery. But this is a foolish hope. There'll never be. Only God can know everything. But this is another desire. They want to be God. Just like in the Garden of Eden. You know the story from the Bible that Adam and Eve were living very peacefully in the garden, a beautiful place. They were enjoying life. But then the devil came and told them, if you eat this apple, then you'll know everything that God knows. And so they fell victim to that temptation. So it's a similar thing. These scientists, they want to know everything that God knows. But how is it possible? You can't know everything that God knows. That's why he's God and you're the creature. You're his creation. How can the creature of the creation know everything that the creator knows? It's not possible. You may know so much by his mercy if he agrees to reveal to you. but you can never know exactly how he feels and how he's experiencing things. Otherwise you would be him. But this is their desire. They want to be God. This is another form of atheism. They want to eliminate God. Ishvadvesha Samurpina. Why we come to the material world? Because there are two things. We want to be God and we want to eliminate the real God. This is our mentality. We're not satisfied to be the servant, so we think, no, I want to be the master. I want to be God. So we come here. And then as soon as we have that mentality, we want to be the master, then we're envious of the real master. This is natural. Therefore, the beginning of devotional service is how to be submissive, like Vatsala was saying. How to accept authority. This is the beginning. Without having that consciousness, then we'll always become victimized. We'll never get the mercy. Because how are we going to get mercy from the superior if we're challenging them, if we're not accepting their authority, if we are thinking we're as good as them, we don't need their mercy. All right, you don't have to, if you don't think you need their mercy. Just like there's so many God brothers are coming, not so many, but some, said, you should come to Narayana Maharaj, you get his mercy, you get the... I'm not interested in his mercy, because I feel I have Baba's mercy, Krishna's mercy. So that same thing can be carried over to everybody. In other words, an ordinary materialist, they don't think they need anybody's mercy. They have their own strength. They have their own will and their intelligence and so on. So why do I need anybody's mercy? This is the general, you could say, mentality here in the material world. That's why the mind has to be controlled. This is the beginning of spiritual life, beginning of yoga, how to control the mind. We were reading yesterday with Bhagavad-gita, Song of the Avanti Brahman in the 11th canto. He was being harassed by so many rascal people. The story was he was a rich mendicant, but he was very miserly. He didn't even spend out of his own self, what to speak of his family members, his relatives, his in-laws. He was always very miserly, he didn't spend anything. And then when he started to get old, he couldn't work anymore, so naturally his sons took over the business, and then they just neglected him. You're a miserly person, who cared for you? Even though he made so much money for them, they didn't care for him because he was a miser. Who likes a miser? He wouldn't even spend on himself, he just hoarded the money. So then, in that condition, he felt very pain. And he had a mood of renunciation. What is this world? I worked so hard to save money. And because he was coming from this Vedic culture, so he had some idea of God. So then he surrendered to God, genuinely, from his heart. And he became a sannyasi. And he went out of the family and just traveled around. But people used to ridicule him. Oh, you were a rich man, now you lost everything, so you're taking the sannyas. You're simply cheating. And they used to torture him and pass air in his face and pass urine on his food and take his things and hold it from him and then pull it away just to tease him. So in that condition, he was thinking, what is the cause of all this trouble? He was trying to chase out the cause. And then he was saying, is it my astrology, the planets? And then, no, that can't be it because the planets are... And all this way he was trying to... And they came to the conclusion that really it's the mind. The only trouble is in the mind. If one is able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord, then even that trouble can be seen as a purification. Just like we give the example, that fire, it purifies gold. So the gold, they think, oh, this fire is too hot. But the result is that it becomes purified. So that in that sense, if we can change our consciousness, then we can see everything that happens to us is for our benefit. This is what's required, this change of consciousness. There's a verse like that, not a verse, but a poem. I too thought that fate was cruel, but now I see it as the Lord's own tool to forge by the fire of hard ordeal our own unalloyed devotional zeal. In other words, instead of seeing it as something bad, if we take it as a challenge that, yeah, this is coming from Krishna, I'm Krishna's devotee, so whatever he's sending to me is for my benefit, for my purification. If we take it in that mood, then even the worst situation, even we're thrown in jail, we can be better Krishna. It'll give us impetus to become more Krishna conscious. It's like Vasudeva Devaki. They were put in jail. But by being in jail, Krishna appeared to them. So, in the same way, whatever problems can come to us, may come to us, there'll be so many problems because the material world is problematic. You know, there's some problems coming. But if we take it in the right mood, in the Krishna conscious mood, without resentment, without trying to retaliate, without losing our faith, becoming discouraged or disgruntled or rebellious, then, Rupa Goswami says, we become the rightful inheritors of the kingdom of God. In other words, it becomes our right to enter into the world, into the spiritual world, just by having that mentality. So this is what we're trying to cultivate, this Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means we can be more tolerant than the tree. Because we see all these things are coming for my benefit. And they're coming because of my sinful activity. So why should I rebel against it? This is my own fate, like we sometimes say. When you make your bed, then you have to lie in it. If you make a awkward bed? Well, who can you blame? Or another example. If you bite your bite your tongue with your teeth, you don't pull out your teeth. Because it's you. It's you also. You may cause some trouble to yourself by biting your tongue. Everybody has done that sometimes, right? Have you ever? Everybody has, right? But you don't think, I'm going to get angry and pull out all your teeth. Because the teeth also belong to you. So it's something like that. If we see everything is coming from Krishna, then why do we become angry? Krishna is our best friend. He's the source of our self. So why should we become angry with ourselves? You can say the very essence of ourself. Krishna is in the core of our heart. He's the cause. We are all part and parcel of Him. So why should we become angry with Him? So therefore, anything that comes to us, we can think like that. This is coming from my friend, Krishna. It must be for my good. It has to be for my good. If we look deeply, we find that there's something there for our good. That's also always a lesson that's being presented to us for our benefit, for our improvement, for our purification. This is for our Christian consciousness. How we can always remember Krishna, even in the most adverse circumstance. Okay, any questions?
Margaret, sometimes different disturbance comes to us, as you said, material world. And we are trying to tolerate this, all this disturbance. But, you know, it's more and more coming, more and it's some point when we can tolerate more. And,
Right. Why can't we tell it? No, it's coming from our own creation. It's our own creation.
But our mind is disturbed, and we can be focused on the Krishna consciousness.
No, but that's the point of this verse. Like this Brahmin, you know, it looks like he was being disturbed by so many things. But then he went inside, and he realized that this is not a cause of disturbance. This is his karma. So why should he be upset about something that he created? You see, that's my point. The point of the lesson of this Avanti Brahman is that if we're able to take shelter of the philosophy, then how can we become impatient about it? Or how can we become so disturbed that we can't tolerate? It's something coming, you know, that we've created. So what is the question about tolerating?
Like, I can see in my mind, he would like give up all the situation and change something, or, you know, because this is like suffering for him.
So as soon as you can see that, then instead of seeing it, you can understand that this is good for them. It's like if you have a rascal child, you may send him to a strict reform school where the teacher is very severe. So the child's going to suffer there. You're happy that the child's suffering because in that suffering condition, he'll be trained. So sometimes they say that when you're doing exercise. No pain, no gain. If you don't push yourself, running or whatever your exercise you're doing, you won't get any gain from it. So there has to be some pain. So then you can think, oh, now my mind is really agitated. That's good. That means it's going to learn a lesson. Because it's true. We don't learn a lesson unless it's a very severe, circumstance. Just like my body is making so much mucus. Then when it's so much intolerable, then I think, yeah, I'm going to have to go and fast and take this juice. And we're so severe. And I'm so, you know, because we're so stupid. We don't learn just by our intelligence. We have to learn by putting our hand in the fire. When we put our hand in the fire, we think, this is really intolerable. I'm not going to do this again. So then, what's the problem? It should be a cause of being happy, yes. Now I've learned a lesson, finally. It had to be so bad that I could almost not tolerate. Then now I realize I'm doing something wrong. I'm not eating properly, like in my case. I'm doing something wrong. Well, I'm not going to blame somebody else because I'm doing something wrong. That's what's happening. We've been so indulgent with our mind that now when the mind is asked to do a little austerity, it's not like we have to You know, like Guru Maharaj, eat only leaves or breathe only air. You know, why can't the mind be peaceful? Is it so such a bad situation that the mind can't be peaceful here? Are we, you know, are we living in such an austere condition? Are we so intolerable? No. So we're training the mind, yes. There's a little austerity, that's okay. It's not intolerable. What's intolerable? We live in a nice house, we eat nice food, we do a little service, we don't overwork. It's not like that we're, you know, like, there's so many examples of colonies in the history who had to work so many, you know, slaves, just like, there were so many slaves, there still are. People have to work 12 hours a day, and they get no money from it, and there's a cruel master. But what is our situation so bad? Practically, is it so bad? Then that's why, that's when the mind is trained, by the intelligence. Then we dictate to the mind, okay, you're suffering, that's all right. You should suffer more, but because you become a devotee, Krishna has made the suffering less. And so I heard personally Prabhupada say that one day when he was sick, in Vrindavan it was, Bhadraj, and then when he came out, he had been seeing come to the program for a few days, and Prabhupada said, oh, you've been sick? And he said, yes, Prabhupada, my sinful activities, I'm getting the result. And Prabhupada said, yes, we should think like that. But the same thing, your mind is disturbing you, it's like a sickness. It's like I got sick, right? So that's also a disturbance. Or your mind is disturbing you. That's a mental disturbance. It is a physical disturbance. But it's a disturbance that's coming from your own karma. And you should think like that. Oh, this disturbance is something that I've generated in the past, and now I'm getting it. That's what it should be able to take sort of philosophy. Most people can't do that because their intelligence is weak. And so they just become, it becomes impossible for them. And they rebel, and then they go do nonsense. And when they do nonsense, they're creating the next situation. 1 year later, 2 years later, one lifetime later, again there'll be some intolerable situation will come to them. And again they'll rebel, and then they create another intolerable situation for themselves in the future. Because when they rebel against the Dharma, then they create hell for themselves. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is stressing on this point about being tolerant. There's no around. There's no way to get around it. You have to tolerate. Why is he stressed on this point? More tolerant than a tree. A tree, if you come and carve your initials in it, cut down the limbs, anything, the tree doesn't protest. It's tolerant. Not some, you can say, false, hypocritical kind of a martyrdom, that you like to be a martyr, because that's the other side, you know, this is sadistic and masochistic, right? Sadistic, you know, they like to be tortured. So it's not that, it's a reality. The reality is I'm suffering now due to my past. But I have a process, and if I go on with this process, then that suffering will go away. It comes like lightning in the sky. You see, lightning in the sky. But you're not that lightning, and it passes. So you're not that suffering, you just tolerate it and it passes. But it doesn't remain with you 24 hours, right? And then it passes, and then you go on. So that's the choice. And that's why we say austerity. Vishwadev says, there always has to be austerity. The only form of life is meant for austerity. As soon as we give up the austerity and try to enjoy life, then we create hell for ourselves.